Now, election night 2018 is finally behind us, and with interest high in this year's midterms, predictions about how it would turn out were all over the place.
There was talk of a blue wave among Democrats, a red wall with Republicans, and speculation that this could be the year of the woman.
Amber Wachowski is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. She's with us now to talk about how the pre-election forecasts panned out this time around. Amber, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, before we get into yesterday's election, coming out of 2016, there was some skepticism of polls. Polls in some places got things wrong, or things broke in a certain way that went to sort of the outer limits of what the polls predicted. Were you sharing that concern about polls coming into 2018?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, not so much. And I think part of it is the narrative that came out of 2016 with reading those public opinion polls. You know, if you looked at the margin of error, how much uncertainty those polls had, Nate Silver, I think, at 538 has written quite extensively on it, that, you know, the fact that Trump won, even though Clinton was up in many of those polls, in the broad scheme of things, was well within the margin of error. So I think it was, it came as a shock to many, many folks, given that most of those polls consistently put Clinton up. But in general, even 2016, I would argue the polls didn't fail as dramatically as I think as it was discussed in the immediate aftermath of the election. So I didn't have those concerns going into 2018 as much.
Right. And in 2016, I remember looking at the 538 outlook, and they said something like Hillary Clinton had a 60-some% chance of winning, which if you translate that into, winning 67% of the vote, that's huge. But no, that's a 2 in 3 chance of winning. You take a die from your Yahtzee set, roll 1 to 4, Clinton wins, 5 or 6, Donald Trump wins. Don't bet the farm on a 2 in 3 chance, right?
You got it. Exactly.
So now let's turn to what happened yesterday. And here in Wisconsin, a lot of people have been declaring Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School poll the big winner. His last poll in the governor's race in particular was a tie, not a statistical, dead heat, a tie. And it was darn close to that yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, I would second that. The polls, and I think the Marquette Law School poll in particular, did remarkably well. And so if you looked at the Wisconsin, the last Marquette Law School poll, you're right. It had Evers and Walker at 47-47, tied. It had Baldwin up over Leah Lukemire, 54-43. It had Call a little bit behind Schimmel, 45-47, but with a healthy share of Wisconsinites saying that they were still undecided about that particular race. That's the attorney general race. And so if you looked at the polling done in Wisconsin, it looked pretty on the mark as the results came in last night.
Talking to Amber Wachowski from Marquette University, political scientist there, looking at polls and elections and how they worked out this time around. Now, Amber, it's one thing, and I'm not going to say it's an easy thing, but it's one thing to try to see who's going to win in a, largely two-candidate race, candidate X against candidate Y. Also, pollsters were trying to look at the House as a whole, which means you're looking at every country or every state in the country, and what happened in the Senate as well. Talk about how complicated that is and how that came out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the challenge in the House, just for polling, is that you don't have as many polls across the country in many of these House races, so you might be relying on one or two polls. But there's some polling and modeling, kind of taking these polling results from House race by House race. So 393 competitive House races. And by some estimates, the polls were capturing calling the right winner in about 95% of those cases. So again, those are pretty good odds. I would say there is one race for me where the polling was a bit off, and that's Gillum's race. This is the Florida governor's race. If you looked at the polls leading up to yesterday, it had Gillum up, not by a lot, but it felt a little like the 2016 polls, actually, with Clinton kind of just up over Trump by a few points. Likewise, in that race as well. And in Florida, the Democratic candidates for both the Senate and the governor's race kind of underperformed those polls. And so the question is, were pollsters not capturing the Florida electorate? In 2016, one of the themes that emerged, or issues that emerged, was that there were particularly white working class voters who weren't being captured in these polls. Perhaps they weren't picking up the phones, they weren't participating in the polls. They seemed to be missing from some of these public opinion polls. It's possible that that's what happened in Florida. The other possibility is what we think of as the Bradley effect. And this is where you've got, it's named after a L.A. mayor, Tom Bradley, who ran for governor in California in 1982, was up in the polls and lost. And the question was whether or not people taking and responding to those public opinion polls were overstating their support for the black candidate, telling the pollsters that either they were supporting or not supporting the non-white candidate, or saying that they were undecided in the race, perhaps out of some maybe social desirability. Now, whether or not we see that in the Florida polls, it's possible, but I'm not sure, because we've also got Georgia. And those polls that were done with Kemp and Abrams, as of, you know, we're talking right now, that race is still unfolding. Those polls tended to have Abrams behind just a little bit and seemed to kind of be well within the results that came in. So if there was one maybe outlier, I would say it would be Florida. Florida seems to be more Republican than appears in some of these public opinion polls.
Now, we sometimes hear candidates say the only poll that matters is the one on election day. I hear that from pollsters sometimes, too. Is there a value for the public to have these polls in hand, for the media to talk about them as we do?
Oh, that's a great, somewhat contentious issue. You know, the media sometimes gets criticized for the way in which they cover elections, that they're focusing too much on the horse race, too much on who's up, who's down, kind of the dynamics of polling. There's been a drop in public opinion polling kind of done. It's not as frequent. And some have argued that maybe that's a good thing, where journalists are now kind of going more in depth into what's going on, the dynamics of the races, what are the issues that the candidates are bringing up on the campaign trails, and placing less of an emphasis. It's also perhaps this year where a little bit more cautious, given how much emphasis was placed on the polls in 2016, that maybe there's some sense that the media kind of held back a little bit some of that coverage and focused less on the horse race as they've done in previous elections. And in my sense of that, I think that's a good thing. I think we want media kind of covering these races. Public opinion polling is a good bit of data input that's coming in, but it's also helpful to put these races into broader context.
Well, the people who are going to study these elections the longest are people like you, Amber, political scientists. Is there value in the polls we've had all along, in the exit polls, as we try to understand and make sense of what just happened?
Oh, absolutely. So a couple things. A turnout. This week, we've been talking about public opinion polling, kind of calling the races for particular candidates. But pollsters folks were also trying to estimate what the turnout was going to look like. And Michael McDonald, who is a political scientist who has just really studies voter turnout and gives some predictions, was predicting that turnout was going to be up quite a bit in these midterms. In some places, maybe even rivaling presidential election turnout, or maybe falling somewhere between a midterm and a presidential race. And his prediction for Wisconsin was that turnout was going to be quite high. He had it predicted, I think, just about 61% for voting age turnout. And we don't have the official numbers in yet, but, you know, Wisconsin's looking at about a 60% turnout in these midterms, about a 5 percentage point increase. from the last midterm election in 2014.
And we're going to have to leave it at that point, Amber. Yeah. I'm sorry, we're all out of time. Thanks to Amber Wachowski, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. She joined us today to talk about how well the pollsters did in this year's midterm predictions. On the whole, in general, most races, pretty well.